What's going on, Kevin?
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's gonna be nice another off season of red and yellow in the End Zone Studios for the decorations.
Yep. You swept my Raiders again.
The only thing I'm actually going to say as far as haha jest, and then we'll actually talk about it is
it's haha like, what
haha jest. This is the way
jest. Okay.
It's nice that the Chiefs can play two quarterbacks on the field. Because Derek Carr likes throwing to Kansas City.
Yeah. So did Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers liked playing for the Chiefs as well.
So, yeah. This is something that I'm gonna say as far as that game goes. I was actually shocked at what the final score was in that game. Our offense did not play that well and still had that game go that way. I will say this is that the Raiders definitely need to address wide receiver in the offseason.
That's one of the things, yeah.
Well, I think that was the biggest glaring thing I saw in that game, Kevin, was, I mean, we basically gave you Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs and nothing else on offense work. You got without Renfro, you guys just don't have a receiver that can break free on his own.
Yeah, Tyrell Williams has gone missing. Zay Jones went missing. the other young kid that we snatched back from Jacksonville. I'm forgetting his name already because he's done nothing. these are all players that are not injured right now that have basically not stepped up. So, I mean, yeah, it's easy to say that the wide receiver is definitely one of the things that we will have to look at. But it's not that we don't have the weapons. It's just the weapons that we have just aren't stepping up.
Yeah.
Tyrell Williams was supposed to be our number two guy. And then after the Antonio Brown debacle, he became facto, you know, wide receiver one. And he was good for first few weeks there. He had like a touchdown in every game that he played. And then it kind of became the Darren Waller show. And Hunter Renfro started coming back in and our other tight end. But I don't know what's going on. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. The thing was, is that when I look at that game, it was a weird game. It just felt weird the whole way through. Kansas City really wasn't clicking well on offense.
It's not like you needed to, because the Raiders were just playing so bad and turning the ball over. It was horrible. After the first quarter, I stopped watching because I saw what was coming. And I've seen this before where the Raiders and Carr just basically shut down and there's no cohesive anything with the team. And I went back and watched some of the low lights later on and did some homework and stuff. But I was just like, I was literally getting sick to my stomach going, I cannot watch the rest of this game. And it started after... Carr's done this before. It wasn't even an interception, but it was one of those things where like he just gave up on a play and decided to almost like down the ball. You know, it was like third and I don't know, six or whatever it was. Instead of trying to make a play like most other quarterbacks do and trying to do something and keep the play alive, he just didn't like what he saw and he just kind of almost spiked the ball down. It was very frustrating. And I've seen him do that before. And good quarterbacks that, you know, that are around the league that are consistent winners don't do that.
Well, let me ask you this, because I mean, Carr's struggles against Kansas City have been throughout his career. I mean, they were talking that up during the game, and that's a pretty.
Oh yeah, they were talking about the whole, you know, Carr's 0-whatever against bad weather games, and yeah.
But I mean, just his struggles in Kansas City. I mean, like, here's the thing, and this is, you know, I'm not. This is my question, because while I do think Derek Carr is a capable quarterback, you hit the nail on the head with him. It's like he almost has to have a perfect situation, or he just kind of gives up. Is that where Gruden could possibly lose his patience with Carr and look to go in another direction?
Yeah, because it's an eye test thing that everyone can see, which is frustrating. You know, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head there, Kyle. And, you know, and I appreciate you being objective about it, because it's something that we've noticed, too, is that everything seems to have to go right in order for him to win. It's not like he can generate something and become the leader and the high priced paid quarterback and do and make up plays and make things happen, you know. He doesn't quite seem to have that niche, whatever you want to say, that, you know, like a Tom Brady has, or, you know, an Aaron Rodgers have, where like, it doesn't matter who they throw to, they're able to either scamper or move out of the pocket, give the offense time to get out of the coverage that they're in. I mean, everyone is not covered all the time, especially on that one play I got frustrated with. You know, there was options there, you know, and it's like, you know, I think you're right. Everything has to go according to a certain plan in order for him to become successful, where he can't drum it up himself and make things help happen, you know? And that's what good teammates need to do. They need to open up another option that wasn't in that broken play, you know? And for the first time, I've been a huge Carr apologist and a Carr supporter. And, you know, when the Raiders have lost before, I've not been the guy to say, I think we need to start looking elsewhere. After this game, I actually started doubting that and started to go, maybe we need to start looking elsewhere. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna throw this out at you, Kevin, and it's just me throwing a random thought out there, because I actually did think about this after the game. I've watched a lot of college football this year. I've watched, being down here in Florida in the South, we get a lot of SEC. Obviously, the name everybody's talking about is Joe Burrow. And I've watched LSU play several games this year to watch this kid. This kid seems like a Gruden quarterback. He finds ways to make plays. He's putting his nose in there. He's not afraid to make a play, take a hit. If as a Raider fan, knowing the draft capital you have right now, would you be opposed to using that draft capital to move up to the number one pick this year to take Burrow?
Where is he? Oh, would he be a number one pick?
Oh, he right now would be the number one pick in the draft.
You know, for me personally, I would like to give Carr more time in the system. And I would like to give him one more year, which would be the first year in Vegas, before I'm ready to give up draft capital, meaning we'd probably have to give up something, you know.
No, you'd probably have to give up at least two of your three first rounders.
Yeah, which I'm not ready to do that, because I want youth to be drafted in those first two picks that we have in that first round, other than giving up one of those, because you know, of course, the last time we got an LSU quarterback, that didn't work out for us.
Well, trust me, Burrow is no Jamarcus Russell.
But yeah, you know, if he's going to go first, I'm sure someone else that is going to need him is going to have taken him first. But this is only the second year that Carr's been in this program, and I'm kind of a I'll give you three strikes or you're out type of thing. You
yeah.
know? And I'm willing to give him one more year.
Yeah. Now, for me on the flip
side, Raider Nation otherwise is not saying that.
Yeah, no. Now, for me on the flip side, and it's been something that we even saw in the Mexico game, the Chiefs defense is looking to finally improve somewhat. Yes, the run defense is still skeptical, but then again, when I look at how Josh Jacobs has been an all-pro this year, without even question. And the only reason why the Raiders didn't use him in the second half is because they were down so much.
Right.
And outside of the run defense, so our pass defense has vastly improved over the last few games. And you can see it, and I know it was something even Tony Romo brought up, because we did at least get the best announced team in the NFL right now, in my opinion, in Nance and Romo on this game. And Romo was talking about how he could see differences, how the Chiefs were communicating better on defense. And it looked like they were working more in tandem in a way they weren't earlier in the season on defense.
Well, Tyrann Mathieu, with the Honey Badger, is that what his nickname is?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He called out the Raiders' offense and Carr as they were being predictable. And what's interesting is, coming from him, that says a lot, because, you know, he's one of the better corners out there right now. But that isn't the first time that players have called out the Raiders offense for being, well, predictable and, you know, easy to beat. I remember, was it last season? I think it was last season, or maybe it was the season before, that Philip Rivers said that during a game. He says, oh, nice defense, and he carved us up, you know.
Yeah.
And so that comes down to coaching there. And I think that that's another issue that, you know, and it's, you know, unfortunately, and I, you know, when Gruden says, oh, that's on me and that's my fault, I'm like, well, you know, we don't want to hear that. We want you to fix it, you know. But how many more mistakes are you going to make? Cause you're in the beginning of a big contract. So I don't know.
Well, I think you got to look at it this way. I think the Raiders, I'll even say this, have definitely exceeded expectations already this season. When you consider especially the whole Antonio Brown fiasco at the beginning of the season and how much that probably has affected your offense. Gruden was going to rely on him quite a bit, I think, was the plan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was supposed to be our number one guy, and there's really isn't anyone in the league right now that could measure up to the talent that Antonio Brown has shown over the last few years, unfortunately. He's an a-hole.
But
I mean, that was definitely a big thing. And the Raiders have been playing patchwork football because we've had so many freaking injuries. They've been pulling people off the waiver wires and off the street to come and play the following weekend, dude. I mean, if you look at that side of the aspect, too, I'm trying to be a little more forgiving on it. But, you know, when it comes down to it, though, my doubts of Carr being a Raider for very much longer have really started to sink in a little bit more, but I'm going to try to, be patient with him and give him at least one more year in this system, even though this is like his sixth year.
Yeah. Well, I do know that they were talking about it on ESPN too. And I think Adam Schefter even said after this season, there's very little damage if the Raiders decide to move on from Carr that he would do towards their salary cap.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think Glennon is the answer.
No, trust me. You want no more of the Mike Glennon experience.
No, I want him to be released. I'd rather have them pick up someone, maybe, because they got Carr, what was it, in the third round or second round, I think it was. Maybe they can find lightning in a bottle later in the draft next year. Who knows? Because I wouldn't be opposed to them drafting a quarterback.
Yeah. So. Well, with that, we're going to move on to everything else that's going on in the NFL. But before we even do that, we're going to tell you where you can find not only the End Zone, but all the great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. And it all starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, if you're on a mobile device, you can download the Podbean app and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and we're working on a few other places, too. We'll keep you updated on that. You can also visit the Fandom Podcast Network's Facebook page. You can email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network. You can follow us on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, you can follow myself, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
Of course, too, it's that time of the year we give to our loved ones. And what better way to say that than to you? Your loved ones and give them something from the Fandom Podcast Network. So visit our TeePublic store where you can support us, get the great gear, whether it's in shirts, mugs, pillows, laptop cases, whatever. And you know what? All the money just goes right back into making great podcasts that we try to do here to help us keep the lights on. We don't line our pockets with it. We want to make sure it goes back into giving you the high quality podcast you expect from the Fandom Podcast Network. So go to tpublic.com, search for the Fandom Podcast Network, visit our store and you know what, get something nice and help us out a little. And of course, finally, we love your reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts /iTunes. We love those 5-star reviews, of course, but we love the feedback in general because we want to make better podcasts to feed your ears. Now, Kevin, it was an interesting week 13. In the NFL. Might as well have been Friday the 13th for certain teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, we had 3 Thursday games this week because of Thanksgiving. The Bears come back and beat the Lions. The Lions playing their undrafted, never thrown a pass in the NFL quarterback named Blow.
You know what? He wasn't playing half bad, dude. I'll tell you right now, I was actually kind of impressed with the kid.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that. He played well and hung in there. And actually, Detroit should have won this game, and they kind of gave it away to the Bears at the end. So, yeah, another sad Thanksgiving in Detroit. But I think we can also call the Buffalo Bills legit because they went in and handled the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Yes, they definitely played like their record. And I think that at 9-3 to start their first time since 1996, seems, what was that? That was one of their Super Bowl years, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly? Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. They definitely got their stuff together and they're looking good.
Yeah. I will say this too, Josh Allen improving every week. He may not be this all world put up huge stats quarterback, but he doesn't make mistakes either. And he makes plays when it counts.
Yes, he does. He's a solid quarterback.
Yeah. The Saints just keep on rolling as they take down the Falcons, 26-18, their third consecutive NFC South title, Kevin.
They've already clinched it.
Yeah, they were the first team to clinch the playoffs.
Well, I mean, if you look at the rest of that division, yeah, not too hard.
Yeah. So that covered the Thanksgiving games, which moves us to Sunday and probably the game of the week, both in hype and how it played out. The Ravens winning on a last second game-winning 49-yard field goal by Justin Tucker beat the 49ers 20-17 in a very rainy, nasty game, Kevin.
Justin Tucker has been clutch. He's one of the best kickers out there, and he's won several games for them, and that was huge.
Yeah, and you know what? If I'm the 49ers, I have nothing to hang my hat about. They were in this game till the end. That was a tough game for them. That was west to east travel, so their body clocks were all screwed up, and the weather in that game was just miserable.
Yeah, they played very well traveling, you know, back east, crappy weather. Their team is still, you know, I'm not seeing cracks. You know, when you start to kind of see teams start to fall apart towards the end there, I'm not seeing that with them.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. And this could easily be a matchup we see again come February in Miami.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
The Redskins, break up the Redskins. They won two in a row as they beat the Panthers 29-21. Didn't see this coming, and I think we're going to discuss the fallout of this game here in a little bit.
Oh, yes.
this was ugly. I mean, and it looks like that rush on Kyle Allen to be the starter, you might need to pull that one back a little bit. The Panthers are going to have a very interesting decision to make in the offseason.
If they don't keep Kyle Allen, I know some teams might want him.
Yeah. The Bengals have won a football game. Kevin,
they're still getting that number one draft pick though, right?
Oh yeah, they're in the driver's seat for that. But they beat the Jets 22-6. It's good that the Jets are in the league for these teams that didn't have any wins. Going back to Andy Dalton,
Andy Dalton starts, but what's frustrating is that the Jets like manhandled the Raiders the previous week and then go and just like, you know,
yeah, well, and but you know what, I'm happy for Andy Dalton. This guy is been nothing but class in the league. He comes in, he plays to the best of his abilities, comes in after a tough situation of getting benched, and leads his team to its first win of the season. So I'm happy for Andy Dalton. I hope in the offseason he ends up somewhere where he gets a real chance to do something, because I still think he's a better than average quarterback in the league.
Who's that coach?
Zach Taylor,
okay.
But you know what? The talk of the league right now might be Tannehill reborn, because Ryan Tannehill is now 4-1 as the starter for the Tennessee Titans, as the Tennessee Titans beat the Indianapolis Colts 31-17. And you know what? I know my Chiefs lost to the Titans a couple weeks ago because of some blocked kicks and stuff like that. Apparently the Titans are just really good at blocking kicks, because they blocked like three more in this game.
Yeah, they're 7-5 now, and Derrick Henry's on a roll. He had his 100-plus rushing yards in three straight games. I know the Titans beat the Raiders, so obviously they'll have the...
Titans play the Raiders this week.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of Houston. But But the Colts, they lost to the Raiders. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting game in Oakland coming up.
Yeah. The Buccaneers looking like they're starting to get Bruce Arenas' coaching system. Pretty much manhandled the Jaguars 28-11. And the Buccaneers defense was really impressive in this game.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Who are they? What?
Yeah. I mean, because Winston didn't have a real great game. Obviously, we talked about it at the top of the show. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 40-9. I will say this. My dad and I were highly upset when CBS switched to the Broncos-Chargers game due to competitive reasons.
Why? You guys already won the game. When I saw you post that on Facebook, I was like, really?
I want to watch. You can never
Come on. You guys were manhandling us. What? I'm surprised you wanted to see the rest of that game. Because I mean, really?
You can never get enough Patrick Mahomes in your life.
God.
In the one of the shockers of this week, the Eagles are upset by the Miami Dolphins 37-31. The Eagles had this game well in hand, and Ryan Fitzpatrick working a little Fitz magic and a little help from the kicker catching a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a weird play.
Yeah, good for the Dolphins, though. And you know what?
Who was it that threw the touchdown?
The holder.
The holder, that's right.
You know what? Good on the Dolphins, though. And a special credit to Dolphins coach Brian Flores for not quitting on the season. Everybody was accusing them of tankapalooza and all this stuff. And these players haven't quit. And Brian Flores has pulled every trick in the book out to try to keep the Dolphins competitive. So he's creating a nice environment down there in Miami. I think it's going to pay off in a year or two when they add a little bit more talent to the roster.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who's going to retain that QB spot or if it's going to be someone new.
I think Rosen might be in the mix next year. We'll see. The Packers manhandle the Giants 31-13. The Giants might be looking for a new head coach in the offseason, Kevin.
Yeah.
The Rams, looking like the Rams of last year, destroy. And I mean, the score was 34-7, but from what I saw this game, the Rams just manhandled Arizona this week, Kevin.
Yeah, I didn't expect that to happen. I thought the Cardinals were going to be way more competitive.
Yeah, I was shocked.
And Robert Woods with 172 receiving yards, a career high. Oof.
Yeah. Do we really know anymore what pass interference is, Kevin? Because
I don't.
The Chargers are the most jinxed team in the NFL, in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
They get hit with more ways to lose games than I've seen any team ever. As the Broncos beat them 23-20 on one of the worst pass interference calls I've ever seen in my life.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
It was atrocious. We also have the Pittsburgh Steelers right now sitting in control of that final wild card spot, beating the Cleveland Browns 20-13. It was duck season in Pittsburgh, Kevin. Browns.
What's that kid's name again?
Devin Hodges.
Devin Hodges, yeah.
The Browns got, I'll tell you what, if the Browns don't address the offensive line in the offseason, it's going to be a long season next year for Baker Mayfield, too, because that is their biggest glaring problem. But Sunday Night Football was a beautiful thing, though, Kevin. I'm sorry, Kat. I'm sorry, Super Swede, but the Houston Texans knocked off the New England Patriots. And Tommy Brady seemed to have a little meltdown on the sidelines, Kevin.
I did not see this. What happened?
He was incredibly frustrated. You can tell he is not the receiver talent this year. This is one of those years where the Patriots tried to go cheap on receiving talent. And I'll tell you what, the Raiders receivers might have been better than the Patriots receivers.
Yeah, and they've had some injuries at that position as well. Sanu has not been healthy and not performing when he is performing that they got from Atlanta. It's interesting to see that, but it's always fun to watch the Patriots lose.
Yeah. And in a great game Monday night, the Seahawks beat the Vikings 37-30, but this game was full of crazy plays and just really good competitive football, Kevin.
When they were mentioning this at the end of the game, it's really surprised me that Kirk Cousins is 0-8 in Monday night games.
Yeah, he wants nothing to do with Monday night football.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
So, well, that wraps up week 13 and what was
is there any chance we can get the Seahawks to tone down a little bit on these outfits that they're wearing.
they're almost as bad as the Oregon Ducks.
Oh God.
So let's take a quick look at the power rankings after week 13. We'll look at.
Do we really need to do power rankings at this time? I mean, it'd be better if we just looked at the standings right now.
Well, we can do that.
Yeah, let's look at the standings here. We don't need to do power rankings. Power rankings are more fun when the playoff road is not as clear. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Oh, okay. So let's take a look in the AFC East. It's pretty much the Patriots and the Bills battling it out, and you can't count out the Buffalo Bills because the Patriots are really struggling.
And they're only a game behind them right now.
Yeah, the Patriots are 10-2. The Bills are 9-3.
And they have they're playing each other soon, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, exactly. I think not next week, but week after.
And is that in Foxborough or is that in Buffalo?
I think that's in Foxborough, but I'm not 100% okay. Certain on that. In the AFC North, you got Baltimore and pretty much wrapped up the division and currently sitting in the number one seed in the AFC, and Pittsburgh at 7-5, leading the sixth spot for the wild card at the moment.
Right.
In the South, Houston's in the driver's seat, but Tennessee's on a roll and coming up fast. I think
there's only a one game difference there.
Yeah. I think the Colts injuries are just catching up with them. They've had a ton of injuries. Brissett's been playing like a trooper, but he's injured. And Jacksonville, we'll get to them in a little bit. In the West, it's basically unless Kansas City just has some kind of epic collapse, it's their division to lose.
Yes, this is true. Yep. Raiders have to try to win out and get some help if any playoff hopes. But it's weird that we're talking playoffs because I wasn't expecting that anyway.
Yeah. Over on the NFC side of things, God, the NFC East is terrible. 6-6 is leading the division. But only a game behind at 5-7 are the Philadelphia Eagles. Technically, the Washington Redskins are still alive in this division, Kevin.
Yes, this is what's weird. If the stars align right and they win out here, they could actually get a playoff spot.
Yeah. In the NFC North, the Green Bay Packers over Minnesota by a game, and they already beat Minnesota once this season. I think they play each other here in one of the last 2 weeks of the season. Could be a huge game there. Chicago still sniffing a wild card, but really, really thin chances there.
Yeah.
NFC South, Saints have clinched. Everybody else, Tampa, we need a miracle, and let's go with Carolina, but that's not happening. In the NFC West, though, this is where things get really interesting because you have Seattle in first place via a tiebreaker over San Francisco. However, San Francisco and Seattle play in 2 weeks. And the Rams still in the mix at 7-5. So
for a wild card, that surprises me. We were counting them out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right now you'd be looking at Minnesota and San Francisco as your wild card. Think about it. San Francisco will be 10-2, a wild card going to Dallas in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to fix that little problem. So those are the standings in the NFL. But let's talk a little NFL news, Kevin, because we had some breaking news just a couple hours before we recorded, and we have our first coach fired with 4 games left in the season. Losing to the Redskins was enough for the new owner of the Carolina Panthers, as he has fired Ron Rivera, and secondary coach Perry Fuel has been named the interim head coach, while offensive coordinator Norv Turner will transition to special assistant to the head coach, and quarterbacks coach Scott Turner will serve as offensive coordinator. You can't. The Carolina Panthers have really been a disappointment this season. I think the ownership felt that they should have been in contention. Obviously, the injury to Cam Newton, but they played flat, and there's too much talent there for the Panthers to be playing the way they have been.
Exactly. That you know, you can't blame this on the loss of Cam Newton because the team was clicking there for a while without him. And I, you know, when it comes down to it, it does come down to coaches' decisions. And, Ron Rivera has been there for a long time. How long has he been there?
I want to say 7-8 years, if not longer.
Yeah. I expect him to find a job soon. Even if it's not a head coaching job, I expect him to find another job.
Oh, I think he'll be a head coach next season. I think,
yeah, because I actually like him as a head coach, and I think he's a good one. It's just he just seemed to have lost the driver's seat there for that team, and you know, it just was starting to spiral out of control, and I think they want to go with something fresh here.
So. Yeah, well, you have new ownership, and I also think maybe you got a little bit of the Marvin Lewis effect here, just a coach maybe been in a place too long.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I know you're happy about this, because Minshew Mania returns for the rest of the season, Kevin! Gardner Minshew is back as the starter for the rest of the year for the Jacksonville Jaguars, so they can see what they got. You think they're maybe regretting that Nick Foles contract?
Yeah. Yeah, how much was that for? Do you remember?
I think like $27 million a season.
Jeez. Ugh. How much of that is guaranteed?
A lot. Let me put it this way. They can't cut him anytime soon. It would destroy their cap.
Oof. Wow.
I think they could maybe do it after next season, but ugh.
Yeah, they need to trade him for that money.
Yep. And we were in that time of year where games tend to get flexed to Sunday night, and it has happened here as the Buffalo Bills game in week 15 against the Pittsburgh Steelers has been flexed to Sunday Night Football, while the Minnesota Vikings Los Angeles Chargers game has been moved from 8:20 to 4:05 p.m. on CBS.
Yeah, no one wants to see the Chargers at that time.
Yeah, no, nobody wants to see the Chargers, period, at this point. This is an interesting game. Steelers, you know what? Mike Tomlin is my coach of the year. The Steelers are basically on their fourth quarterback this season.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I got to give credit to him for keeping them competitive through all this.
And they're probably one on their third string running back at this point as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
fourth string, it felt like it.
Yeah, no kidding. But that's about it for the news for this week. But you know what, Kevin? Let's take a look ahead, because there's some interesting matchups in week 14. So, and it actually starts off Thursday night with, I think, is kind of a big game for both of these teams. This is probably... I don't want to say a loser leaves, goes home. If Chicago loses this, they're probably out of the playoffs. If Dallas loses it, they're still in line to win their division. But yeah, Dallas is playing at Chicago. Dallas is favored by 3 on Thursday Night Football, Kevin.
Yeah, this, you know, this is big for Chicago. If they want to, you know, try to get any type of a playoff sniff at obviously like a wild card or something here. Dallas could lose this and still be in the hunt. But if Dallas wants to pull ahead, that's how important this game is for them.
Yeah. Moving on to Sunday, a great early 1 o'clock game, Baltimore at Buffalo.
This is one that should be flexed personally, but this is huge. Both these teams are hot right now. And it's interesting that this makes it more interesting because it's at Buffalo and it's tough to win there.
Yeah.
Unless you're Tom Brady, but we have, you know, a quarterback there in Baltimore that is very hot right now. Very fun to watch. So this is going to be an interesting game. I'd watch this game.
Yeah. We have Washington at Green Bay. Yeah. We'll move along here. Denver at Houston. Move along. Nothing to look at here. However, San Francisco at New Orleans, big game for this young 49ers team coming off that tough loss in Baltimore and now in New Orleans for a 1 o'clock game.
So question, New Orleans has wrapped up their division, right?
Correct.
Are they still playing for home field advantage?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They have the same record as Seattle and San Francisco.
Okay, so they're not like, we're going to start resting people then.
Oh, no, not even close.
Yeah.
So we've got Cincinnati at Cleveland. Yeah, okay. Carolina at Atlanta. Yeah, the Battle of the Also-Rans. Detroit at Minnesota. I actually feel bad for Detroit fans. They've just been destroyed by injuries this year and one of those kind of seasons.
I know how that feels.
Interesting game, I think, Kevin, believe it or not, is Indianapolis at Tampa Bay. Just a couple of teams that you don't know what direction they're going in.
There's nothing interesting about that game, dude. Sorry. I know Tampa Bay is near where you're living, but there's nothing interesting about that game for me.
No. You want a game
You can't manufacture anything interesting out of that game.
No. You want a game you can't manufacture anything interesting out of? How about the Chargers at Jacksonville?
True. Yep.
But the big game in the 4 o'clock, the rematch of the AFC title game, Kansas City at New England. New England yet again getting one of their toughest games at home, Kevin. But yep. I do think this is a New England team that is ripe for the pickings right now.
it's easy. I can see why you're saying that. I can see why you're saying that. You know, this is where Kansas City needs to prove that they're not a one and done playoff team, and go into the playoffs with some home field advantage and some leverage over a team that could be holding between you guys, possibly holding a playoff game.
Yeah. And
hosting a playoff game, excuse me.
Well, we will host a playoff game because even if we don't have a bye, we'll have won the division, which gives you a home playoff game.
Yes, but I'm talking about the next step, you know?
Yeah, the next step. Well, right now, I don't know if anybody's going to beat Baltimore, but that's a whole other thing. But no, this is time for Kansas City, especially on the defensive side, to really step up and show something. My feeling on this game, though, is I don't think New England has the offense to hang with the Chiefs at this point, the way they're playing right now, especially after what we saw against Houston on Sunday night.
It's tough to beat them in Foxborough, though, man. Yeah. That's huge.
But this will be a big game for Kansas City. We got Pittsburgh at Arizona. This could be interesting. Pittsburgh, smoke and mirrors. I don't know how they're doing it. Tennessee at Oakland. This is still a pretty important game for both of these teams.
Yes, it is. Yep. It's huge.
Sunday night, Seattle could, and they would like nothing better than to stick the fork in the Rams season.
Yep.
Monday night, Giants at Philadelphia. I don't think we need to really say anything about that.
You think ESPN would like to flex that game?
You think ESPN would like to flex their announce booth?
Yeah, all that too. Gosh.
Well, that is a look ahead to what's happening in Week 14. But Kevin and I are going to take a quick break, let you know what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network, and then we'll be back with our trademark, mediocre, possibly playoff edition, fantasy football advice.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Welcome back. We hope you're enjoying everything that's on the Fandom Podcast Network. But Kevin, it's time. Playoff edition fantasy football. A lot of leagues are starting their playoffs in week 14. A lot of people do week 14, week 15 as their playoffs. Or maybe if they have more teams in their league, this is the start of a 3-week playoff stretch.
Yes, well. That was one of the changes that I made to the leagues that I host. Which is 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 6 that I play in, where I changed the playoff to making sure that we weren't playing week 17, starts 14, 15, and 16, and also that 6 teams make it into the playoff with the two top seeds getting a bye. So 6 teams have a chance to get in there and try to win some fantasy dominance down the line and see if there's any of those teams that, get hot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kevin, let's talk about you because you've had a pretty successful fantasy football season this year.
Yeah, I did. Even though I lost a couple of the games this last week, I was in position to still make it into the playoffs. Of the 6 leagues that I play in, I'll be making the playoffs in 5 of them. The ESPN leagues that you're in, specifically the Trophy League. I was in the driver's seat in my division for a while there. But unfortunately I got knocked off by Jen and stuff. And
you got knocked off by the stomp. You were stomped by the stomper is what you were.
Yes, exactly. Stomper stomped me, but, I still have reached a playoff berth. So I will be playing, she gets the bye in that one, but I still am playing in it, which is good. The only team that I did not do well in was the Silver and Black UK League. And that's that 12 team league. That's got only five places on the bench. I went 5-7 in that one, but I played competitively though. I played the waiver wire, even though I wasn't doing well, because I like to do that. I don't like to be an easy win if I can. So,
yeah. Now it was a little tougher for me this year. I made the playoffs in one of my three leagues. Injuries were a killer, I'm not going to lie. Couldn't catch
the
some
ESPN
breaks.
Standard League. You did not make the playoffs in that one, did you?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
but in our Trophy League, I won my division. I'll be enjoying that first round bye.
Yeah, hopefully you won't lose any good players in your first round bye.
Yeah, that's the hope. But no, it's always a fun time for fantasy when we're talking playoffs. But Kevin, do you have a Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award winner this week?
You know, I found it hard to pick one particular player, and I usually like to pick players that I actually own on my teams. And so I'm going to give a shout out to Bo Scarborough, running back that just kind of came out of nowhere for the injury laden Detroit Lions. And he stepped up and provided some good fantasy for me, because I picked him up, I think, in three leagues. And I didn't start him in, two of the three, but the one that I did, he did quite well for me. And so, for what's been happening and where he's come from, he's going to be my Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award of the Week.
Well, guess what? Cause it's going to be an All Lions edition, because my choice was Kenny Golladay.
Nice.
He put up some nice numbers on Thanksgiving, including a 75 yard touchdown reception, which is always a nice bonus in fantasy football.
Yep.
So, we are kicking a group of players off of Fantasy Island this week too, Kevin. And, you know, I'm going to be nice, because I could have made this a double wide receiver kickoff, but I'm just going to go. Any Patriots pass catcher is kicked off of Fantasy Island.
It's the same thing I said about the Raiders last week and your running backs previous week, because you don't know who's going to do what. There's no go-to person in there. So I agree with that one. A couple of my leagues, I was kind of grasping at some teams that I thought would have decent defense play. I picked up, in one league, I picked up, Philadelphia. That didn't work out. And then I went back to a team that was playing really well in the first half, because the matchup seemed great, was, the Panthers. So I'm kicking the Panthers defense off of Fantasy Island.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you there. I'm going to say this, as far as free agent pickups, I'm sorry, there's just nobody out there at this point. You're going to the playoffs with the team you got.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm looking at looking at the waiver wire in one of my leagues here. And, I mean, you got the Brown, Tennessee wide receiver. You got Emmanuel Sanders available in that league. Yeah, it's just like, you want to try to go for questionable Matt Breida, you know, and it's really tough right now with defenses right now.
Yeah.
You know, because the waiver wire, you have to pretty much go by matchup. And I did that last week in two of my leagues, and that didn't pay off for me, unfortunately. Yeah. And, kickers are as well. It's really, there's some kickers are riding hot for a while and then they start to suck. You know, if you don't have like a Justin Tucker or something like that, it's just like, it's frustrating there as well. Cause every point counts. I mean, there's several of these games were close for me, you know, whether I lost or won. So yeah, it's really tough.
Yeah. Well, this will be an interesting final few weeks. We've got fantasy football playoffs. This is a time of year where you're going to see teams really start tightening things up. You're going to start seeing those teams that are out of it are going to start playing some rookies that or young players that they might be looking to get a few look at for next season. And of course, you're going to have a few coaches who are playing with their jobs on the line. So things always get fun these last few weeks of the NFL season, Kevin.
Yeah. And I want to mention regarding the playoffs in our fantasy league for the trophy league, where, you know, a trophy is up for grabs here. So you and Jennifer have the bye week right now.
Yes.
And I am playing the Wuppertal Frogs, my friend Andreas. I am playing him. He's the number two seed on your division, and I'm the number two seed in my division. And then we've got Make It So, my buddy Bob McDermott, and my buddy Anthony, the Los Angeles Debats. They're playing each other. Well, you guys get to wait this week and watch us fight it out and then pick up the scraps next week. So there we go.
Yep. Well, Kevin, with that, I don't want to linger too long. I know it was a tough week for you.
Yes, it was, man. It was one of those things where, like, a lot of Raider players were like, you know what? We may not win, but, you know, we'll keep it close and be competitive. We can beat that 10-point spread. Not.
Yeah. With that, I'm just going to say let's beat New England this week. And it's time for the Brady to go down. It's truly time.
I just want to mention, too, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be up in Oakland. Reminder, I'm going to be in Oakland watching the final game in Oakland for the Raiders. It's really weird to, I mean, it would have been more exciting if the Raiders actually won this last weekend, but now it's becoming more emotional because, you know, there's going to be, you know, tailgating there is a huge deal and it's a huge tradition. And there's so much tradition that goes on there every week when a game is there. And it's going to be actually quite emotional whether we win or lose.
Well, and, you know, if the Stomper Jen Walk is my co-host after that, it's because somebody's taken Kevin home as a souvenir. But with that, we wish you good fortune in your fantasy football, and we wish you good fortune if your team is still in the playoffs. Hopefully they can find a play that will lead them into the end zone.